This is Leslie Jenkins recording an interview with Phyllis O'Donnell on the 12th of November for Surf World at Currumbin. Phyllis, can I start by asking you your full name and your date and place of birth?
Phyllis O'Donnell. I was born on the 6th of July 1937 at Tremoyne in Sydney.
Do you have any brothers or sisters, Phyllis?
I've got one sister.
And what's her first name?
It's Yvonne.
Okay, so tell me what your mother and father did when you were growing up.
Well, Dad was a motor mechanic, right, down in Sydney, and, oh, well, Mum was Mum and, you know, just did house duties. And then later on, my father became a rubber manufacturer. We used to do a lot of work for Dunlops down in Sydney.
What did he do as a rubber manufacturer?
Oh, you know the old ringers where you used to have to push them with a handle?
Washing machine ringers?
Yeah.
And they were rubber?
Yeah, they were made out of rubber.
So he supplied the rubber for those?
Yes. Oh.
And did he used to take you down to the beach? Was that your introduction to the surf?
No, when I was about 17, I got my licence. And then I had a 1926 Chev and I take myself and a friend over to Harbord. Down in Freshwater, down in Sydney, at the weekend.
And why did you go to Freshwater rather than any other beaches?
Well, Freshie was about the only one I knew.
Was it quicker to get there rather than Manly?
Well, I don't know. I just like Freshwater, or as they call it, Harbord.
Joe Larkin comes from Freshwater. Did you meet him?
No, I didn't meet Joe until I moved up here in 1963. And it was a Joe Larkin board that I won the world title on.
Mm. Now, when you got your licence and you started going to Freshwater, how old were you then?
I would have been 17, 18.
And at 19... The 1956 Olympic Games were held and the American team competed at Avalon before they went down to Torquay. Did you go and see them at Avalon? Did you know anything about them?
No. All I knew is that they bought out the surfboards. And I got my first surfboard at Knott and Kirby's at a department store. And that was okay until I found out who to go to, and I used to always get them from Gordon Woods.
Well, what was your Knott and Kirby's board like? Because Knott and Kirby's was a hardware shop,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it was about a 9 foot something.
Made out of?
Balsa.
It was made out of balsa. Mm-hmm. I thought it was difficult to get balsa in Australia until...
No, they're all balsa.
Was it hollow?
No.
Because balsa's pretty light, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, well, in those days they were pretty heavy.
Were they?
Yeah.
Did you have any problems carrying it to the water?
Yeah, I had to either put it on my head or lug it over my arm. I couldn't get my arm around it because I've only got a short arm.
And would you say when you were a young girl, you were what kind of build were you? Petite or medium build?
No, medium.
Did anyone ever offer to help carry your board, any other male surfers?
No. The Australian male surfers are very domineering in comparison. Because when I lived in the States on and off for a couple of years, I found the American men, very gentlemanly in comparison to the Aussies. the Aussies are. They don't help you at all.
Whereas the Americans did when you were surfing.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any other differences between the Americans and the Australians when you were, you became, you know, prominent and you, after you won the World Championship in 64 and you went to America, did you find other differences once you were in the water?
Well, as I said, the Americans were, I was an aggressive surfer because surfing with mainly the Aussie guys, you had to be aggressive or you couldn't catch a wave. And when I went over to the States on and off for a couple of years, I found the American very gentlemanly.
So when you say you were aggressive on the wave, how did that play out?
Well, you had to be.
But does that mean you had to push them off waves or cut in on them when they were on a wave, or how were you aggressive?
Well, surfing with all the guys, you had to be aggressive. If not, they'd push you off a wave. I mean, okay, I've pushed guys off the wave. You know, if they dropped in on me, I'd push them out.
And just going back to the early days, when the film Gidget came out, that was 1959, did that influence you at all? Did you see that film?
Yeah, I saw it, and I'm very friendly with the girl that used to do the surfing in the Gidget movies, Linda Benson.
When did you meet her?
When she came over to compete in the 1964 World Titles, that's when I met Linda.
And so that was 64, so that was, 5 years after the Gidget movie.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me who else influenced you to take up surfing and to continue with it. I have read that Snow McAllister was important.
Yeah, just being, not knowing where to surf at all, you know, I didn't know the difference between onshore, offshore or anything. And then I met Snowy McAllister, and I suppose I would say Snowy was my mentor, and he showed me where to go and the difference between onshore, offshore, and so Snowy taught me a lot.
Did he teach you other technique?
No, Snowy was an Australian champion. He used to ride a ski and he used to stand on his head. And I reckon that's what made him bald, standing on the head. Yeah, he was an Australian champion. I think he won it 3 times.
Had anyone in your family been involved in life-saving clubs?
No.
So you never had any involvement with them either before you took up board riding?
No.
So what was it that made you decide when there was no one in your family who was surfing?
Well, a boyfriend of my sister's, I think he lived in Newcastle and he'd leave his board at our place in Drummoyne, and my sister and myself used to take the board out because we had Friday afternoons off Saturday and Sunday from work, and we'd be paddling around on the board. And actually, my sister stood up before I did. I didn't even care about standing up because I knew eventually I would. All I was interested in was paddling because I think the basics of surfing is paddling.
And paddling also develops your upper body strength, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? Which, and that's important for surfing too, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yes it is.
Mm. And who else influenced you in your early days of surfing in Sydney?
I don't really know. I don't think there wasn't anyone. There was a girl and a guy, and I'm at Long Reach, and they used to do tandem. And not that I was ever interested in tandem surfing, but, you know, they kind of made me go a little bit better because they were very good bull riders, the both of them. And, no, I really don't know why I took up surfing.
And what did it give you when you were surfing? Was it developing your skill that was important to you, or did you like being outside and the environment, the marine environment that is part of surfing?
Oh, you name it, I've done it. I've surfed with the dolphins, I've surfed with the sharks, body surfed with the sharks, body surfed with the dolphins. I mean, I don't believe in culling sharks. We're in their environment. It'd be shocking if you were taken by a shark. It'd be a horrible way to go. But we're in their environment. They don't jump out of the water and grab you from the beach. And I don't believe in culling sharks. That's only my view, and I don't think they should cull sharks.
Mm. Now, why did your family and why did you move up to Queensland?
Well, Mum and I, we came up here in 1962, and I used to surf at Rainbow Bay and down at Cabba. And we fell in love with the place, so Dad thought, well, because we had a service station in the rubber business, so Dad thought, well, and my sister at that time was living in Brisbane, so Dad said, well, we may as well move up here. So we moved up here in 1963 and bought a house at in Walter Crescent at Benora Point. We had our bees, we had beehives, I had my chooks, I had my ducks.
Did you have a job then?
No, not when I first moved up here, but then I became the assistant manager of the Tenpin Bowling Alley.
In where was that?
Down at South Tweed.
Is that a job you had for a long time?
Yes, and in 1966, it was the world titles in San Diego, in California, and I had 3 weeks' leave of absence, and I came back 12 months later.
So just before we go to that world championship, we haven't talked about the competitions you went in Queensland before you went to Sydney for the world championship. Can you tell me about that? Wasn't your father involved in establishing the association?
I know it was Bob Evans, but Dad was my father was a patron of Surfing Queensland.
And at that time it was the Australian Surfing Association Queensland, wasn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And did your father get involved because he could see that it was a passion for you?
No. He was just a patron. Actually, I got on a lot better with my father after I won the world title than before. I was very close to my mother.
Oh, I see. Mm. And so what changed for your father when you won the title? Could he see that you were very serious and also accomplished?
Yeah, that's why he liked it. That's why I got on with him better.
Oh, I see. So tell me about meeting Bob Evans. Where did you meet him?
I met Bob, I forget where I actually met Bob, but he used to take the photos for the Surfing World magazine. And Bob took a couple of photos of myself that was in the magazine, and that's how I met Bob, but unfortunately he died of bowel cancer.
Do you know what year that was?
No, I can't. It was a long while ago.
Were you ever in any of his movies?
I could have been, but I don't know for certain.
Mm. And so when you went down to Sydney, did you have any sponsorship to go in that competition, the World Championship in 64?
No, you had to pay your own way. It's not right today.
Well, you were also the Australian champion, weren't you, in 63 before you went down to the World Championship?
Yeah, and winning the Queensland title enabled me to compete in the world title and the Australian at the same time.
Were there many women competing at Sydney, in Sydney, for the World Championship?
Yeah, there were quite a few. There was the women's section, the men's section. I won the women's and Midget Farrelly won the men's. Neither of us were expected to win. Linda Benson was a favourite to take out the women's, and I think one of the Americans was a favourite to take out the men's, but Midget and myself proved they were wrong.
Did you have good waves that day?
Yes, actually, Manly had really good waves that day. You know, I've been to Manly a few times since, and often it's flat or there's no surf. But we did have not a bad wave on that particular day.
And you said you were riding a Joe Larkin board mm-hmm. in the championship.
Yeah, well, Midget made one for me, but I just found it too big. So I rode that in the heats. And then in the semis, I decided to ride Joe's board because I felt comfortable on it.
And then after that, for other competitions you went in, did you continue to ride a Joe Larkin board or did you get something else?
I know. I mainly had Joe's boards, but I did get some from Gordon Woods, who I met only last year. Again, after so many years.
Oh, really? So when you got his board, you didn't know him. He was a board maker in Brookvale, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And when were your boards getting shorter? When did you change to shorter boards?
Well, when I went over the States and I worked for Dewey Weber, a board manufacturer, he probably started making shorter boards before anyone else. Like when I say short, I'm talking about 7'4". And then after a while, I got down to about a 5'6", which I could surf okay on a 5'6".
Did you prefer them to the bigger boards?
Oh, well, you don't have to lug them around. They're so much lighter.
But you need more skill to ride them too, don't you?
Yeah. Yes, and I was only saying to a friend the way Steffi Gilmore's going right at present, she's won 5 world titles, 2 junior titles, and I met Steph when she was only 14, and even then she said she was going to be a world champion. Well, she's proved herself right because now she's won 5 and I think at the rate of knots she's going, she could get up to Lane's 7 world titles.
Lane Beachley,
that is.
Now tell me a bit about going overseas. When did you do that? Over to the United States?
Well, I had 3 weeks leave of absence and 12 months later I came back, but I still got the job, not as the assistant manager, but I still had night work.
This is the 10-pin bowling job?
Yeah. So I could surf during the day and work at night, and I used to write a beginner's article for one of the newspapers, the Sunday Up Courier Mail or something like that anyhow.
How long did you write that for?
For quite some time.
Did you get paid much for that?
Yeah, they paid me, but I forget how much. You know, it was pounds in those days.
Yeah. Did you enjoy writing?
Yeah.
Did you ever write for any of the other surfing magazines?
No.
That was the only time that you wrote?
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying, so you got your job at night and you were doing some writing, and did you get any sponsorship to go to the United States?
No, because I got second Gail Cooper won in 1966, so then I had to pay my way to the States in 1966.
Were you going over there to compete or just to learn?
No, to compete. Down in San Diego in 66 world titles.
Right.
But the place I like is Puerto Rico.
So how did you go in the 66 world titles?
I think I got 6 overall, but in Puerto Rico I got a 3rd. And
that wasn't until 68, though, was it?
Puerto Rico? That was in 68.
Yeah. And in 66 you got 3rd at the Mahaka.
Oh, yeah, I got 3rd at Makaha.
Where's that?
In Hawaii.
And so were you riding the big waves?
Yeah.
Really big waves?
Mm.
And was that daunting at all for you?
No. I mean, I've surfed Sunset. Now, Sunset, you paddle out in the rip, then you get in the surfing area, and Sunset doesn't break it until it's at least 10 feet. So, actually, I lived at Sunset for about 3 months when I first went over there.
Where did you live?
I lived in a little house that belonged to a lady that had a unit where I stayed. And then some of the guys got me down and put peroxide in my hair, so I came back a blonde.
Were these American guys?
No.
Australian?
Australian guys.
Were there any other Australian surfing women over there with you?
No, I was the only one at that time. They were all Americans.
Well, so did you feel it supported at all by other women, or was it? Did you feel that you were doing it all on your own? Because the men had each other. They had great friendship and friendships.
Yeah, well, I got on well with the guys. And when I first went to Makaha in 1964, Linda Benton said, "Don't go to Makaha." But I wanted to go to Makaha to compete, she said, because it's rigged. Linda said, "Don't go." But of course I went, didn't I, and I bombed out. And I had a sponsorship to go to Peru to defend my world title, but after bombing out at Makaha, I lost that sponsorship.
And where are the waves in Peru?
Oh, I didn't get to Peru.
Yeah, but where do they surf there?
Hmm.
Somewhere on the coast there?
Yeah, probably. But Puerto Rico is a beautiful place.
So so you didn't get sponsorship after Mahaka. Then 1967 you came back to – you were back in Australia because you won first at Newcastle.
Yeah.
So was that an Australian championship?
No. No, it was just every year they held one at Newcastle, and I think I've won about 3 at Newcastle. And there was one time there, because the waves were very big, I thought, oh, this isn't for women, and I refused to go out. And Ma Bendel was alive then. And Ma went and got the white water, and ever since then, of course, Ma has passed on now. Ma never let me forget that she beat me down at Newcastle because I refused to go out, and she just caught the white water. So I didn't hear the end of that until she passed away, that she beat me.
She came late to surfing too, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. Her and Ben didn't start surfing until they were about...
In their 50s.
In their 50s. Mm.
Was she a good surfer, Ma?
Oh, she wasn't coordinated. Well, you can imagine, you know, at 50. But then I met a lady from Tasmania, and she wasn't a bad surfer at that age, at 50. And no, Ma was pretty good considering she was, you know, in her 50s, and when the surf got too big up here, we'd all head for Noosa, and I'd stay at Ma and Ben's house.
But was their house at Noosa, or it was back from Noosa?
No, it was at Caloundra.
Caloundra.
Hmm. And Ma had to get all the work done, and Ben, her husband, used to say, "I'm going surfing, are you ready?" She said, "No, I've got to clean a out a few more units." She said, "Well, I'll meet you down there." So Ben took off, and poor Ma had to wait until she finished all the work.
And then she'd go down there?
Yeah.
So did they have holiday units?
Yes.
And that was their income?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. And apart from surfing with them, did you surf very much on the Sunshine Coast?
Oh, well, when it got too big here, we'd all end up going to Noosa.
And when you say we, who else was with you?
Oh, well, most of the guys, you know, the guys and the girls, we used to go to Noosa because it was too big down here.
But were there other women surfing with you, or were they just the companions of the surfers, the girlfriends?
No, mainly the blokes.
Mm.
And Ma and Ben and myself.
And then tell me about Puerto Rico. Did you stay there for long? That was 68.
Yeah, Puerto Rico is a beautiful, beautiful place. They're all smoking pot. I didn't smoke. I smoked, but not that stuff. And I've never been so dehydrated in my whole life, because the air temperature, water temperature, humidity was all in the 80s. And after going to the heat, the semis, the quarters, the semis and the finals, I was so dehydrated, and none of the other girls could talk, but I was used to talking over the mic down at the Tenpin Bowling Alley. So the ABC got me to do the commentary for the women at Puerto Rico. Not that I ever heard it.
Did you enjoy that role?
Yeah, I didn't mind because I was used to talking.
And they paid you for that?
No. No, you didn't get paid for anything. Like if I won a board, I'd sell it and I'd get some money from that. You know, it's not like today. Here's Steffi on a $5 billion contract with Quicksilver. You know, and I say good luck to them. You know, it's like in the old days when they played tennis, they hardly got anything. It was like that with surfing.
Do you wish you were surfing today?
No, I don't envy them at all. I mean, actually today it's made easy because they've got the jet skis. In the old days, and this is before leg ropes, if you lost your board, you had to swim in and then you had to paddle out again and catch more waves. But now it's made easy because of the jet skis.
They can drop you off out there.
Yeah, and put you in the surfing area.
Yeah.
But in my time, I think, which is a better system than what they have today, because in my time they judge you on 5 waves, right? They deleted the highest and the lowest, so your average was 3. Now they only take your 2 highest. So you could be lucky and get 2 good waves, or you could be unlucky and get low scoring waves. So I think the system that we had in the early days was better than what they've got now.
Have you ever been involved in judging any surf competitions?
Yeah. I used to judge.
When was that?
Oh, I've judged here and I've judged in the States. I used to do a lot of judging. But there was one time down in Sydney I was kicked off the judging panel because all of the judges were talking to each other about what they should and shouldn't, how many points they should give a certain rider. Well, I disagreed, so I was chucked off that judging panel because the judges were giving scores. They were just talking among themselves. So I was dropped out of that judging because I judged as I thought. I wasn't talking to the other judges who gave the same scores to all other people.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've judged. I even judge in the States too.
And how long did you live in the States? What was your longest period of time there?
I went over there. I stayed there for 12 months. Then I came home. And then I went back and stayed for another 12 months.
So was that in Los Angeles, or where were you located?
I was in the LA area, but I was at I was down by the surf.
What was the name of the beach you were at?
I'd say the closest beach would have been, I was living at Hermosa and I worked for Dewey Weber. Of course, that was no green, you know. Didn't have a green card, you know. I just was paid underhand, yeah.
And what were you doing for him? What work?
I was doing a lot of filing and because most of their dockets, they had fiberglass on them and I got a nasty rash on the face because I was filing these forms with the fiberglass on them and I got a rash on the face, so I had to be treated for that. And then I used to phone up Dewey's his dealers, and even to today I can't say Massachusetts. Yeah, I still can't say it.
So you were never involved in shaping any boards, the physical work of making a board. Is that something you have ever done?
No, I worked for Dewey Weber up there at Tugan, and I did a little bit of shaping then, but that's about all.
Dewey Weber. In America.
I mean, you mean Mick's surname.
Because Dewey Weber was in America, so
yeah.
So Dewey, it's another guy you were shaping for.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Joe.
No, it wasn't Joe.
And so working for Dewey Weber meant that you could do a lot of surfing and get assistance,
yeah, well,
get help?
Dewey sponsored me.
Oh, I see.
And over here it was Gail Austin sponsored me.
She used to have the, did she have that company then in Brisbane, the Good Times?
Yeah, she still does.
Yeah, so she was sponsoring you when she had that business.
Mm-hmm.
Was she a surfer as well? Or did, she was a paddler, wasn't she, a canoeist?
Yeah, she preferred canoeing. And I've got a friend that likes kayaking. She's always kayaking. And loves fishing for blackfish, the ludric.
So did you have any romance in America, given your age and...
No. Saw too many of the guys in the surf. Turn you off.
But the Americans were charming, you said?
Oh, yes. Entirely different to the Aussie bull riders. Because probably, well, the Australian board riders probably taught me how to be aggressive. Without them, I probably wouldn't have won a world title.
Right. And what about the American women you competed against? Were they aggressive, or what sort of style did they have that was
different? No, they weren't. They weren't aggressive. And they used to swear until I got there. So my claim to fame is I taught the American girls how to swear.
And how
but
long...
there were some really good... in fact, there were that many girls over there that were fantastic board riders, like Joyce Hoffman.
Joyce Hoffman.
Mm-hmm. And they even had their own board riders club.
Did they
in the States.
In Hermosa Beach.
In the States, yeah. And we went on a trip. I was in the Bay Cities board riders club, and we had a trip up to where the snow was. I forget what the name of the place was.
Colorado?
No, not Colorado, but not that far from where I was living, because there's snow fields up there.
Yeah.
Right? And
maybe near Lake Tahoe?
No, I forget where it was. It wasn't that far from California, because, you know, you've got the snow up there in winter.
Yeah.
And I went up on the rope and fell off, and I had all these guys fall on top of me. And then I came down, you know, I didn't have a clue what to do. And I came down, and then I turned backwards. And then when I got to the rope, there was one particular guy, he hit me three times, not intentionally, just accidentally. But it was, you know, it was a fun weekend, and I still to this day haven't got a clue about, what do you call it?
Skiing.
Skiing.
Because some people say there's a great similarity between surfing and skiing, that surfers are good skiers.
I couldn't ski if you paid me to. And I did a bit of skiing behind the boat.
Oh, water skiing?
Yeah, water skiing. And because I was used to being on a board, I felt my feet in those skis, I just felt too tight. But then we used to body surf behind the, we used to body board ride behind the boats.
That must have been fun.
Yeah, that was fun. Hmm.
Did you want to come back to Australia?
Yeah. I think this is the best place you could live in.
So,
apart from Hawaii.
So how did you go in the world titles at Puerto Rico in 68? Did you get a place?
Yeah, I got third.
Third. And then where did you go to after that? Back to Australia or back to America?
No, I went back to the States.
Because you were still sponsored then, were you?
Yeah.
Still supported.
Mm-hmm.
And so you came back to Australia and you competed in the 1969 second Bells Beach.
Yeah, I got second at that.
Competition?
Yeah.
Were more women surfing by that stage, by 69?
Oh, yeah, there were a lot more girls then. I think Gail Cooper has won more bells than anyone. Gail lives at Lawn, down in Victoria.
And that's a big surfing beach, isn't it, like Byron Bay?
And, of course, that's where Bell's Beach is.
Oh, Bell's Beach is at Lawn.
No, Bell's Beach is down there in Victoria, not that far from Lawn.
Right. And was the surf good that day when you won that competition?
Yeah, really good surf.
Because it can get quite big there, can't it?
Yeah.
And what sort of board were you riding then?
Is that like, could have been a Gordon Woods or a Joe Larkin, I don't know.
So is that the maker that you favoured, mainly Gordon Woods and Joe Larkin, were your two, mainly your two board makers?
Yeah, I only caught up with Gordon a couple of years ago. There was a do, I forget where the do was, but there was a do somewhere and Gordon came up for it. Now, Gordon's in his 80s now. Well, I can't talk, I'm 75, so it won't be that long before I'm 80.
And when was the last time you went surfing, board riding?
Oh, only a couple of years ago when I was over in Hawaii. And I'm planning on another trip to Hawaii with a friend of mine, Bianca from Jet's Gym. We're going over there next October.
And you're going to go surfing?
I don't know if I'll go surfing, but I'll get Bianca, I'll give Bianca a couple of surfing lessons with a surf school over there while we're there. And then I've got to do the touristy thing because she's never been there before. So I've got to show her this and I've got to show her that and blah, blah, blah.
It'll be wonderful.
Be wonderful for Bianca, but, you know, I'm not used to doing the touristy thing.
Yeah. And what have some of the other highlights of your career been? Those competitions that I mentioned, have there been other highlights that you recall?
No. Only for surfing, I probably would have been married to a Tasmanian.
How's that? You'd met someone?
Hmm. Hmm. He was a Queen's Scout. Actually, he was at the Queen's coronation. And Dad had a 48-foot motor cruiser and we took it down to Tasmania, apart from the car, and that's where I met Keith. And probably I would have been married to a Tasmanian, except I joined a pipe band and I used to play what they call the tenor drum. And in the Anzac March, oh my goodness, you know, carrying a drum, you know, you had to march for about 3 miles. It was a bit much, but no, and then from there I took up surfing, so probably had I not taken up surfing I would have been married to Keith. But actually surfing took me all around the world. I had not been to Europe, but I've been to Hawaii about 18 times. When I go next year it'll be 19. I love Hawaii. And I've been to Tahiti, which is very nice. And so only for surfing I probably wouldn't have travelled like I have.
So you have no regrets about your decision to favour surfing over Keith?
No. No. And I went with another guy. His name was Ronnie Tall. He was about 6'2" and he got killed. He had a little motorcycle, you know, a little motor scooter, and he went under the top of a tabletop, serious head injuries, and of course he died.
Oh, that's dreadful.
Hmm.
Was he a surfer?
No. No, very good looking bloke.
Yeah. And there's one other thing where I haven't mentioned, which was much later, which was 1996, and you were inducted into the Surfing Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go down for that ceremony? Was that held in Victoria?
Yeah, that was in Victoria, and they had to tell me. Of course, in those days, I didn't like to travel.
Why? You didn't like planes? Or you just
No,
like...
I didn't mind planes. I just, I don't know, I went through a phase where I didn't want to travel, so they had to tell me that I was in being inducted into the hall.
They couldn't leave it as a surprise, you mean?
No, they had to tell me to get me on the plane. And that's when Bob and I got inducted at the same time.
Oh, Bob McTavish.
Yeah.
And was that the first time you met him?
I know, I'd known Bob for quite a few years.
Who were some of the other surfers that you knew reasonably well? Did you know Michael Henderson?
Peterson.
Peterson?
Yeah. Yeah, I went to Michael's funeral.
But did you ever surf with him?
Mm-hmm. I surfed with Michael. I used to call them the little kids. Well, they were kids in comparison to myself. There was Michael. Tommy.
Can you come a bit closer?
There was Michael and his brother Tommy. And Wayne Bartholomew.
The famous Rabbit Bartholomew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rabbit. I used to call them the kids and they used to call me the old girl. But we all got on well. Until Michael. I mean, Michael and Tommy. I was in a semi-duplex down at Rainbow Bay. And Michael and Tommy, Michael used to come in and say, he was into fins at that time, or so I thought, and he'd come in and he'd say, you know, what do you think of this fin? Until I read Sean Doherty's book, not realising what they were getting up to. You know, drugs and all that kind of stuff.
You mentioned before in 68 that everyone was stoned. Did you, but you never smoked any dope or took any drugs? You were never part of that aspect of the
no.
surf culture?
No. When I was in the States, Linda Benson kidded me to have a bit of a puff.
How did you find it?
I found I was going on a roller coaster. My head was spinning around like one thing. But that's the only time.
Mm. It wasn't something that you wanted to do that you thought
heavens,
would,
no.
You know, would make your surfing
no.
feel better or different? Or
no. No, I wasn't into that scene at all.
Mm. Was it dismaying for you to see that other surfers were, especially in the 70s, 80s?
Well, most of them were smoking dope. Mm.
But was it something that you thought was bad for the sport?
It didn't bother me whether they smoked or not. In every contest I was in, they gave out Cravenet cigarettes. And at that time I used to smoke. Not dope, but, you know, the ciggies.
Yeah, tobacco.
Hmm.
When did you give up smoking?
About 40 years ago.
Did it affect your capacity to surf, the smoking?
No. I used to like having a fag, going down to the beach and just stomping it out before I hit the water.
What about drinking? Were you a drinker?
Yep.
What did you like to drink?
I loved Kahlua. Riccadonna. Vodka. You name it. I drank it. But then I had a nasty fall coming back from the Kingy Bowls Club.
Yeah.
One night. And I fell down and I've got that skin that breaks easily. So I wrapped myself up. Downstairs we've got a little toilet. I wrapped myself up. Then I came up into the unit. I saw some more things that needed to be wrapped up, so I wrapped them up. And I hit myself with a couple of strong vodkas, fell asleep, and the next day I'm up at the doctor's and being stitched up. And I haven't drunk since, and that would have been about 40 years ago.
Oh.
I just went cold turkey.
Yeah, because you thought you had a problem with it.
Oh,
after
yeah.
The fall.
Yeah, definitely.
And did you lose your job after that?
No. No. But I was working at the Coolangatta Golf Club, and everyone was drinking on the job. And I had a break, right? And I gave one of the directors, instead of lemonade in his beer, I might have given him soda. And the duty manager said, you know, it might be time to go home, Phil. Of course, you know, I had an hour's break, you know, where we were drinking. And what did I do? I had a little minivan and I rolled it right in front of the president's house. And out I crawled in my Coolangatta Golf Club uniform. And there's Percy, who was the president of the club, and hence I lost my job, and I haven't worked since.
And when was that? How many years ago was that?
That would have been about 30 years ago. So what did I do? I took myself on a trip to Hawaii.
And went surfing?
Yeah.
How long did you go on that trip?
Oh, a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And tell me about your involvement with contemporary female surfers like Lane Beachley and Carla and other ones that you mentioned in the interview.
Well, I met Lane when I was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I wondered who this girl was. She was running everywhere, all over the place. And it turned out to be Lane. And that was Lane before she was famous. And I've known Steffi since she's been about 14. Steffi Gilmore. Who just lived up the road at that time from where I am. And yeah, that's a diva do from, we had that at Surf World.
Yeah. How important is it for you to support the younger women surfers?
I always support them. Always do. I'll be going to the Roxy and I'll be barracking for Steffi and probably my favourite one at present, apart from Steffi's, Carissa Moore from Hawaii. Fantastic board rider. Absolutely fantastic.
Do you think it's easier for women to surf competitively now than it was
when you were surfing? Oh, yes. Heavens, yes.
What do you think the main change has been? Has it been the way male surfers and the competition hierarchy views women, or is it something else?
No, well, we'll take Steph. The way Steph surfs is like a guy. And Carissa surfs like a guy. Even though they're girls, but the things they can do on a wave today is a lot more than they can do in my time. Their surfing is absolutely fantastic today. And at the rate, as I said before, at the rate of not Steffi going, she could get up to lanes world number 7. But then, of course, you forget there's young up-and-coming ones like young Tyler Wright. There's Carissa. And there's a whole lot of young ones coming along. So...
Do you think the fact that they get sponsorship easily if they show talent makes a difference, whereas for you...
Well, I was lucky if I got the Craven A cigarettes.
Mm.
And if I won a board, I'd sell it. But, no, I don't regret that I was born 30 years too soon. Because I still follow the all the surfing events. I know what's happening here and happening there. And I'd like to see Joel Parkinson win his first world title. He's on track to do it, so I hope he does. His only competition would be Kelly Slater. Mick Fanning's out. Unless he does good in Hawaii. Joel always does good in Hawaii, so I hope he wins his first world title, because if anyone deserves to win a world title, it would be Joel Parkinson.
Mm. And what do you think your main contribution to the sport has been?
I don't know.
Do you see it as a spiritual endeavour or mainly as a sport?
No, it's only a sport. It's a sport, you either like it or you don't.
And like any other sport?
Yeah.
What do you think of surfers who talk about the spiritual aspects of surfing?
I don't take any notice of it.
Just before we close the interview, is there anything you would like to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
No, Lily, I think we've covered everything.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you very much for your time today.
Okay, love.